Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other podcast platforms. Thanks so much for listening, and do be sure that you have hit the subscribe button so that you get every episode automatically every week. There is no cost to subscribe. It's simply an option that you select one time for convenience. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps, and there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Please be sure to like, follow, etc. on those platforms. You can always send comments through the website. Plus, you can post thoughts, suggestions, and engage with other listeners and even post prayer requests in the show's Facebook group, which is called CSR Listeners. There's a button for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. Also, please help me spread the word about the show. I'd appreciate it if you would tell others about Catholic Sports Radio as I continue trying to draw in more listeners in the hopes that this ministry will bring them closer to Christ. In terms of my ministry moment for this episode, since it's Christmas week, people are being challenged by realizing there's someone that they didn't come up with a gift for. Sometimes you'll hear them say, "I have nothing to give them. What could I possibly give?" Every day we have the gift of God's only Son, Jesus, whose birth is why we have Christmas. Let me say that again. Every day we have that gift. What could we possibly give Him? Some will hear this and say, "I know, Bruce, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, right?" No, we just need to give ourselves over to Christ every day. That's all He wants from us, not just on Christmas, but all year through, holidays and non-holidays, in the good and the bad. Go to Him. Give yourself over to Christ just as He does every day, and let us remember to thank our Heavenly Father for the gift of His Son. Amen? Moving on now with episode 47, my guest is currently the head coach of the boys' varsity soccer team at Cristo Rey, a Catholic high school in Tampa. Last year, the Tampa Bay Times ranked him number 20 on a list of the top 50 coaches in Tampa Bay sports history. In 26 seasons at Jesuit High School, his teams had won 24 district titles, reached 15 Final Fours, and won 5 state championships. His last title team also finished first in the National Soccer Coaches Association of America poll. All told, he posted a 571-124-69 record at Jesuit, a staggering 747 win percentage. His faith life has some real notable highlights as well, which we will talk about today. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Bob Bauman.
Thank you, and thank you for inviting me onto the show.
Absolutely, Bob. Good to have you here. You were raised Catholic, attended Catholic grade school. Where was this, by the way, and how many siblings did you have? What did the family faith life look like when you were a kid?
Well, we grew up in St. Louis, Missouri. My dad had been in the Air Force for a while. I was born in Baltimore. I have an older sister she was born in St. Louis, and a brother born in Colorado as well, and another brother born in St. Louis. So we were kind of stretched out as my father left the Air Force, and we ended up, he was working in Colorado before we returned to St. Louis, and that's where we grew up. We attended St. Blaise Catholic Church and School, which now has a different name since I left St. Louis in 77 to play soccer at USF. They changed the name since, but a very strong Catholic background. My father's brother, Richard, was a priest and was ordained in the old St. Louis Cathedral in downtown St. Louis. On my mom's side, the family was very religious in terms of their Catholic upbringing, and my third cousin off of my mom's side of the family was the Archbishop of New Guinea.
Wow. Wow. And there's one more entry on this notable family members list. There's a story about a cathedral in Louisiana.
Yeah, so in right off the French Quarter is the St. Louis Cathedral. Some of your listeners may be familiar with it. And buried in the floor of the St. Louis Cathedral is a relative of mine. And actually, I'm looking at a photocopy I took of the the headstone. It has three different names, so maybe somebody can sort this out. But at the top is François-Philippe Marinier Mandeville. And so on my grandmother's side was the Mandeville name, and Mandeville is the name of the town across from the French Quarter in New Orleans, right across the lake. So I never knew until I went to New Orleans and told my grandmother about my trip that we had a relative actually buried in the floor of the St. Louis Cathedral right at the feet of the Virgin Mary.
Amazing.
It truly is amazing. I don't know French, so I really could not interpret what it was. It does have three different names, but from what she told me was that he was a commander. On the headstone, it makes reference to someone being military major. But I think what she also told me was they really didn't talk about it because I think he was a pirate, is what she said. So I don't know if that's accurate or not, but it was until I said something to her, it was never discussed, which I thought was pretty remarkable.
Hmm. Well, and listeners, you're hearing this impressive family tree, and it somewhat reminds me of, if you didn't hear it, go back and listen to episode 39. I interviewed Father John Perdue from up in Peterborough, Ontario, Canada. He's with the Flying Fathers, a hockey team of Catholic priests, and his sister is a sister, meaning a nun. So I wonder, Bob, in your case, you know, was it I was just with my immediate family all the time, Bruce, or was the fact that, gosh, I have an uncle that's a priest, I've got this third cousin, I've got, you know, all this that you're describing, was there any sort of, I'll say, stronger emphasis on your Catholic faith because of these deep roots, or was it just, don't read too much into it, it was the same as any other Catholic family growing up?
I think it was more like any other Catholic family growing up. I mean, we were raised in terms of getting a Catholic education, and I think that's, to me, that was the roots of our faith and a basis for maintaining that Catholic faith throughout. I thought that was a great way to understand the Word of God and get through an understanding that there were different religions, but our family, because of some of our family ties and some of the other relationships in the family, it was emphasized, but the priority was more at the very ground level, at the ground roots of just our family. Prayer before dinner, you know, say our prayers before we go to bed, go to church on Sunday. And as well, in our Catholic grade school, we were in church every day. So we would have church essentially 6 days a week, and wow, we did that through eighth grade. Yeah.
And talk about your childhood years playing sports, and also your childhood years, if I'm understanding this correctly, even coaching way back then.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So we started playing sports, and there's a little bit more of the family involved in this. So my dad's father, Bob Bowman, was also known as Doc Bowman. So he had been the trainer for the St. Louis Browns baseball club till they left and moved to Baltimore, Maryland, became the Orioles. Mm. My father was a bat boy for the Browns for 3 years.
Wow.
Before they moved. Well, my grandfather then jumped over to the Cardinals. So he was a trainer for the baseball Cardinals until, I believe, it was 1989, semi-retired in 73. He was also the trainer for St. Louis University. So we had a very, very heavy sports background within the family, and it was through sports, and actually sports through Catholic grade school sports, that all of this was based. My dad coached my baseball team. He tried coaching soccer. The only time he said he ever played soccer, he sprained his ankle. but he coached my brother and then coached us with baseball. And in St. Louis, there was such a strong Catholic base. And I thought that was true of every city, which was, when I came to Tampa, kind of remarkable. But there were so many Catholic churches that was the formation for your baseball leagues, your soccer leagues. The Catholic Youth Council, the CYC, was so inbred in the area. And what was so amazing is that growing up, I was playing against kids whose great-grandfathers played soccer.
Wow.
So soccer was such a huge base, but it was all, from my perspective, it was based out of the Catholic Church, that you had all the schools playing one another on a local and regional basis, and the same was true with baseball. So we had sports supplemented our faith, and that gave us groundwork for understanding the idea of respecting an opponent, the idea of, you know, doing your best, fundamental things such as discipline and commitment. All of the things that are very fundamental and the values that I cherish as a coach and try to transfer on to the players that I coach now.
Nice, nice. And your first coaching stint was?
So I was in eighth grade. I played for a guy, Ron Martin, who coached me when I think I was in fourth and fifth grade or fifth and sixth grade. And Ron was a great guy, and he had actually met Pele one time. Mm. He chauffeured him to a Stars game, I think, back then, an NASL game. But Ron had asked me in eighth grade if I would help work with his first graders, and I jumped at the chance. So that was the start of my coaching career.
And you mentioned that you went on to play at USF. Is it true that you played professional soccer?
Well, I've got a tryout with the Tampa Bay Rowdies my senior year of school, and I recently spoke to at the Great American Teach-In, and I talked about Plan A and Plan B. So I knew by the time I was a senior in college at USF that my chances of being a professional soccer player at a high level were very limited. I knew that I was slow. It took me a long time to figure it out. I've been told that I'd been running like a piano was on my back. I never believed it until I got to the collegiate level. So, and I tried to shed the piano, but it just never worked. So I knew my senior year, the Rowdies invited me to try out, and they brought me back twice. Mm. I got my tryout. At that time, I kind of had a feel that the league was a little bit on the downside. The NASL back then in the 70s was starting to take a little dip on the downside, and I was already accepted to law school, so I knew that's where I was headed. And the coach was very gracious, said they liked me, they liked my attitude, liked my soccer insight, but they needed an American to start right away, because that was the NAS rule at the time, that you had to add another American to your starting lineup, and I knew I wasn't that guy.
Interesting.
So it wasn't difficult to accept, but I got my opportunity, and that's all I ever wanted. Yeah. So if any coaches are listening, I'm still a free agent if anybody wants to sign me. And I did get replacement knees, so I'm good to go.
There you go. There you go. You heard it here. Well, listeners, we're going to turn the corner towards Bob's adult life and the coaching that I talked about in the intro. But I do want to mention first that with there only being a couple weeks left in the year, churches, dioceses, ministries, organizations, etc., are all putting plans in place for 2020 and some of the events that will be organized then. If you or maybe someone you're close with have a say in any of that, be reminded that I am available as a speaker for your event. That might be a sports night, a parish mission, a men's conference, a diocesan event, or something else where my Catholic Sports Radio is a fit. Do familiarize yourself with my faith walk and my sports background back on episode 1 of this show, as well as on the website, and then look for the very short Request Bruce as a Guest Speaker form on CatholicSportsRadio.net to start that conversation. And then also on CatholicSportsRadio.net, if you do like what I'm doing here, if you're tuning in regularly each week to Catholic Sports Radio, if it's helping your faith life, if you believe in this ministry, if you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio, you're getting some type of value, some benefit from it, and want to help out, I would appreciate your support. I am just a one-man show taking this all on by myself, including doing all the producing, hosting, and editing of this show every week, as well as the administrative and promotional work, booking the guests, and so on, which means that all the expenses come out of my pocket. So if you feel I'm giving you something each week that you'd like to support, utilize the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net, which will give you the opportunity to contribute in whatever amount you wish, securely, online. And for those of you that don't like the idea of putting credit card information online, just email me, Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net, and I will get you an address to send a check or money order to via U.S. mail. Otherwise, look for the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Pray about it and see if this ministry might be somewhere that you feel inspired to include in your tithing. Bob, more than a quarter century coaching at Jesuit High School and just a ton of success. Again, a winning percentage for you there of almost 750. But talk about working with the student athletes and it not being a public high school, meaning a faith-based education, because I have to imagine for a lifelong Catholic like yourself, you probably did more than just work with them on soccer technique.
Well, we try to emphasize that since it is a college prep school, that the idea the parents were sending them to school there not necessarily for soccer first, at least we hope not, but for academics. And when we would meet, we would have a coverage dish dinner once we selected the team, and I would have an opportunity to speak to the parents, and during the course of the season speak to the players. And it was always an order of God first, family second, academics third, and then athletics fourth.
Wow.
And I would tell the parents that if you sent your child here and the priority is soccer, then you need to, you know, realign your priorities, because if you weren't there for academics, for the most part, most of our kids that came there for soccer first never finished there, sadly. And we would always try to emphasize, look, if you, obviously, whether it's almost any high school, if you're not academically eligible, you're not going to be able to play athletics. But being a Catholic school and Jesuit being having the motto of men for others, we always wanted to emphasize the community service aspect, and always wanted to emphasize that when we would put on our uniform, that when the players would put on the uniform, they're representing a school that represents men for others. And we expected the players to carry that on the field, to act as men, you know, men under God, working for one another. And so we would emphasize that throughout the season. And we had players that were very dedicated towards their faith. There were some that ended up going to missionary or whatever, but there were always community service aspects that were part of our process.
Wow.
And the idea that when we got to speak one-on-one with some of the players, that they understood, and I think over a period of time, most of them did understand that they were there to become a young adult, and a young adult male that would be representing a school that stood for the church and God, and that they were there to serve their community. And I think based upon my own background and the way I was raised, to me, it's always giving back to the community. So I was dual working as a head coach, and we had great players and great results, but I was also a full-time attorney with a family. So to me, it's always been about giving back to the community, which led me to the next part of my life, which was becoming a judge. And a juvenile judge is that.
You mentioned to me that your Catholic upbringing was impactful on your becoming a judge. How so?
Well, it just seemed to me that, you know, in terms of the way I was raised and the values that were provided to me and the idea of serving the greater good, and the greater good being serving community and serving others, that this seemed to be the way I should go. That I've been an attorney, I've been, you know, in the trenches and all that, but now what would the next step be to serve a community that has provided me an opportunity, that provided me a scholarship, that provided me an opportunity to play professional soccer, that provided me an opportunity to coach so many great young men that have become community leaders in this area. And so that, to me, was the next step. And one of the great joys I've had is that I've been assigned to the juvenile crossover division, where I handle everything that these teens and adolescents deal with on a daily basis. So in doing so, we've brought in a juvenile mental health, and I've just started a juvenile human trafficking, because there's so many members of our community, young children that don't have the same opportunities as some of the kids I may have coached at Jesuit, but still deserve to understand that they're not simply brushed to the side or they don't have opportunities. And we try to get them to understand that they can have a worthwhile life, that they can succeed. So it's a whole different spectrum than coaching at Jesuit, which, again, a different direction from that is, because I miss coaching so much. I've always wanted to coach.
Well, I wanted to just mention that first at the same time, you know, there is no coincidence. I mean, what an amazing fit that is, that you can see God's hand in all of this, that he had you working with those student athletes all those years at Jesuit, which was, as I said, a faith-based institution, and all of a sudden here you end up becoming a judge where, like you say, you continue to get to serve the community, but, oh, by the way, it just happens to still be dealing with youth. So that's just amazing, and you can see the Lord's hands all over that.
I've been so blessed to have that opportunity. I mean, it's like dual lives. I mean, I've been so lucky to be able to be a lawyer and accomplish certain things on the one hand, and then to be a coach and a judge dealing with juveniles, which to me has been the greater part of my life in terms of what I can do for the community and what I can give back. I mean, to me, it's all still serving the greater good, that this is what God had in mind for me, and this was God's plan.
Yeah, for sure. And it all comes full circle, because you left Jesuit 6 or 7 years ago to focus on your campaign when you were running for Hillsborough County Judge, but now you're back into coaching after all, as I mentioned in the intro, at Cristo Rey, which is a Catholic high school. Tell the listeners about the school itself, as well as why you went back into coaching despite still being a judge.
Okay, so it was so interesting. During the course of my campaign, I went to see Monsignor Higgins who is one of the greatest Catholic leaders in all of Tampa Bay. And I went to see Monsignor, and I was talking to him, and he reached over and he hands me this pamphlet, and it says Cristo Rey. And he said, he just said two words. He said, get involved. He didn't say how. He didn't say anything else. He just said, get involved. And so I read through the material, and the school hadn't even started yet. So this was probably 5-6 years ago. And so I kind of followed the start of Cristo Rey and how it was developing. And I had checked in probably 3 years ago, and they hadn't started an athletic program. And I was just trying to see what was going on, and I heard that they may have had a soccer coach on staff. And then nothing really happened after that. So I was literally typing up an application to coach the Plant Girls soccer team. I get a text from Martha Minahan, who was great friends with Monsignor Higgins, and Martha's husband, Bill, had hired me at Jesuit, and we've been great friends for years. And she said, Cristo Rey's looking for a soccer coach.
Wow.
And so I stopped what I was doing. I called the athletic director.
Wow.
He said, can you come by? I went by there. I spent 3 hours with them. And they're like, wow, great. Nice resume. I think we'll give you the job. So I've been blessed that I'm working with these kids that at Cristo Rey. So this is their first year of a graduating class. They're up to 172 students. And Cristo Rey is a network of schools around the country. The idea of Cristo Rey is to take underserved kids, underserved youth, where the family income cannot exceed $60,000. No parent can earn more than $15,000. And it's called Cristo Rey Salesian High School and Work Study Program. So every child that's in the school is sponsored by a business where that child works one day a week, a full day of work at that business, and the business covers their tuition.
That's tremendous.
But these kids are just amazing. They're some of the greatest kids, and they've had none of the luxuries that some of the teams and players that I coached in the past had. I mean, when a player tells me I have to leave now from practice because I have to take a bus to Plant City that's going to take me 2.5 hours to get home, then I have to do my homework, then I have to get cleaned up, then I might get to have dinner. And some of these kids, I don't think they have dinner.
Wow.
I mean, the school would provide breakfast and lunch and then a snack after school. I think some of our kids wouldn't have another meal till the next day. And so they have this, they have all this enthusiasm, and they have great attitudes, and they're great to coach. I really enjoy coaching them, and they work hard. And you think about it, the opportunity to be in high school and work at a job where that might be your career, that just puts you a step ahead of so many other people.
And how
that may be in that interest industry. And I just think it's phenomenal. And it just amazes me that Monsignor Higgins never told me how to get involved, never said, hey, I want you to donate money, or you need to coach, or you need to teach. But he just said, get involved. And I think this is the path that God had for me. This was the plan, that I would help them start a soccer program.
And how. Well, Bob, we're just about out of time. Two quick final questions. Number one is just talk about Bob Bauman, the parishioner, meaning where you attend church now, where you went before that, and also your involvement at that previous church.
Yep. So I attended St. Lawrence for years, and then my stepchildren and children, my child Camden, attended St. Lawrence as well. And obviously, being close to Jesuit High School, it was an easy transition right down the street. My involvement was in the sports level, helping out with their Sunday basketball league, or coaching a lot of the kids from there and playing club soccer. And I tried to help where I could help, being a homeroom dad or whatever, all those fun things you do that are tied to the church and school. And then during my campaign, when I did have time, I was able to be a lector on some of the Sunday night masses.
Nice.
Which I really enjoyed, because for me, that was a challenge. And I sometimes, people struggle with getting in front of other people and speaking outwardly and openly. And for me to do the readings at church, that was a bit of a challenge for me, but I really enjoyed it. And I really enjoyed the cadence of the reading, and you just kind of feel really great inside after having that opportunity to help spread the word from the altar, rather than just sitting and listening all the time. So I really enjoyed that. And since then, the dynamics have kind of changed in my life in that. And so now I'm attending St. Timothy's, which is out near, closer to where I live.
Okay. And final question. It's Christmas week. You mentioned your children, your stepchildren. What will Christmas look like for you and your family here in 2019?
Hopefully it'll be a very joyous one. The stepchildren are a little bit spread out, a couple in Mississippi, one here locally, and then my son just returned from college. So it'll be a little low-key than it was probably 15 years ago when we had four boys in the house and things were kind of hectic. But it'll still be a pleasant, warm, and faith-driven Christmas.
Wonderful. Well, Bob, thank you. God bless you and your family. Merry Christmas, and I appreciate you coming on Catholic Sports Radio.
Thank you so much, and Merry Christmas to you and all of your listeners.
And listeners, we will close, as always, with a prayer. We haven't done this one in quite a while, so on behalf of those that Bob has worked with for so many years, let's do an athlete's prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear God, today is game day, and I place myself in your loving hands. Help me to be a good sport. I pray that I do not seek individual glory or accolades, but rather that I play for your glory and for the good of my team. I pray that all who play this game today are protected from physical harm. And, my Lord, help me to accept the bad breaks as part of the game. I pray that I play to the best of my ability and to give honor to you by accepting my position and my place in the lineup. Loving God, I pray for those who watch from the stands that they too give glory to you by accepting without prejudice the rules and decisions of the game today. May their hearts be filled with joy and gladness that you have given them the ultimate gifts they watch this day, the players. Dear God, I pray for the coaches and referees that they too experience your loving guidance in the decisions they make today, for those who work behind the scenes to make this day enjoyable, and for the founders and supporters of the school and the league. Finally, I pray to you, loving God, that you enjoy this game today and bestow on each of us wisdom and acceptance, no matter the outcome of the final score. With you in our hearts, we are all winners. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.